chance for Sean Mackie to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sent it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
So, the home of football became the home of rugby yesterday as Glasgow Warriors took on Edinburgh. And we were playing at Rugby Park and we had Warriors out on that pitch yesterday as Falkirk beat Kilmarnock 1-0. And do you know what? Brian Graham scored from 5 yards out. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft. It's your unofficial Falkirk FC podcast. I'm John McInally, joined once again by the Ginger Gordon Pod himself. He's back from his sick bed. It's Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. Yes, I'm feeling much, much better. Last weekend, I was out of the game. I wasn't well. So, you know, it's bad when I can't even go to the football.
And I just couldn't,
mate. I was honestly, Friday to Monday last week was awful. And I know you're not feeling very well
weekend. I think you passed it on to me because I'm that way. It's just been lingering for the last week and a half. I've not been able to get shot of it. But enough of her ailments. Enough of all that. How you doing, Ross? How was Rugby Park yesterday?
It was a really, really good away day yesterday. Early-ish bus through, few beers pre-match in the town centre, and then we had a steady walk along. Met loads of Falkirk Daft viewers and listeners yesterday, whether it was in the pub or the walk along. Shout out to all the boys that I was walking along the game with, having a bit of a catch up with them, and then in the ground, speaking to loads of folk as well. So not just really textbook away day, and then the game. Obviously, we'll talk about it. It wasn't a classic by any means. However, we've got the 3 points. We've got a little bit of a. I still see Calais as a bit of a monkey off our back type team. So
Two wins in a row is massive. We'll talk about Dundee a bit later on, but you know, I said in the preview podcast, I think 4 points out of these two games, you start going, we're all right. If you get 4 points or even 6 points out of these two games, you go, we're all right. We're okay.
It's been a good weekend, actually. Obviously, it's 20 past six just now on a Sunday night. The teams below us have dropped points, as in the important ones that we wanted to lose points, like Dundee and Killy, obviously, and Livy. And then I know you'll hate me for saying this, but some of the teams around about us and up a bit have dropped some points as well. So, happy days.
Fair enough. we'll talk about Dundee. We'll talk about the Kilmarnock game just in a bit. It's been mad the last couple of weeks. Work nights out. You had your Christmas work night out yet?
Yeah, we had ours really early. It was back in late November, unfortunately for us, because our work's an absolute disaster in terms of trying to get people together in December. I know you had yours, was it towards the end of last week?
Yes, yeah. Managed to drag Scott Allen into the cat house, I think, was the crowning achievement of the night. Marvin Bartley, because obviously, because I worked for Clyde One, a lot of the Super Scoreboard guys were out as well. Mm. So, in the night, Scott was like, I'll come to the cat house with you. He's like, brilliant. He's loved it in there. Had a great time.
what's the cat house like now? It's been years since I've been in there.
It's great. It was just it was a Thursday night and we're just like Ross, who's one of our producers, DJ there and put us all on the guest list, so we
is that Ross who I met previously?
Yeah, Ross Bowie. It's George Bowie's son.
He's
one of our producers at the radio station. He got us all on the guest list at the cat house and we charged in there. Had a great night out. It was great.
Good.
But I have to say, I can't handle staying out to 3 o'clock in the morning anymore. That's for sure.
I'd be a burst ball the next day.
I know. I've always pretty much Friday was just. I've not moved far from the couch between this illness and my work night out on Thursday. I've not moved far from the couch over the last couple of days. I'm interested to see on the Willie show that this week as well. We did get the chance to really talk about it in the preview show because it just came out. But it was the fact that Willie said that penalty against the Hearts was 1,000,000% a penalty, yet Dermot Gallagher on Sky said that's a penalty.
Yeah, I know there's loads of people saying, "Oh, listen, just move on. It's not a penalty and stuff, right?" However, we have seen them given before, and I'm not going to be funny, but we will see them again given for the exact same thing. So it's the it, VAR is not the problem. It's the people who are using VAR for me that's the issue, because as I've just said, we've seen penalties given for them before. Look at the Williams penalty against Hibs at home earlier this season as well. He didn't make his body any bigger. He put his hand in front of his face. Do you know what I mean? So, and there was also that little bit in the news as well about how if it's going in, it should have been an automatic yellow card and a penalty as well, if it regardless. So,
Regardless of
yeah.
it, it's ridiculous. I mean, I'll still stand by it. I'll die on the hill the fact that it was definitely a penalty and a red card to Hearts. But
I
hey
agree.
ho,
I agree.
listen. We'll let it go. We'll let it go. A bit like Elsa and Frozen, because we've got the 3 points against Kilmarnock, and we'll talk about that just in a minute. But let's rush right into Birthday Corner and say happy birthday to the gaffer. It was his birthday on Friday. I think he must have got a new jacket for his birthday because he was sporting a nice little three-quarter length black jacket yesterday. I think I've seen him before that, but it might have been a birthday gift from Mrs. McGowan.
Yeah, it could be, but listen, he's I'm loving the drip on him these days. He's all over it. Like
Wow.
somebody's kicked him through flannels, and I'm absolutely loving it. So just aye. He's a cool looking guy now. He's had this massive glow up and he's here for it.
64 years old now, John. Unbelievable, eh? It's like he is the oldest. He's certainly the oldest manager in the Premiership.
Now that Martin O'Neill's away,
Yeah.
yes, I think he must be. Yeah, I would say so. I
In
can't
terms
think
of
of
the whole
anyone older.
SPFL, I'm just thinking Dick Campbell's probably the only manager in the SPFL that's older than John, I would think.
Oh, that is a good question. Yeah, quite possibly.
Yeah, I can't think of
Well,
it. I can't think of
no.
any manager older than, well, Dick Campbell obviously is
Dick
ancient,
Campbell is
still in
ancient, yeah.
charge, he's five. But
Yeah, I can't think of any others though. That's a good shout.
there you
Good
go. So
trivia question, that one.
there you go. There you go. But aye, happy birthday to the gaffer. Hope you got all your birthday wishes. I'm sure the 3 points against Kilmarnock was top of the list. And congratulations to Captain Brad Spencer. By the way, the fact that he had a baby on Thursday and then played on Saturday is incredible. So he named it Bradley as well after his good self. So congratulations to Brad and his
Well,
partner Kilmarnock.
listen. I hate to go all Roy Keane, but unless he's breastfeeding, I'm sure he's all right.
Oh, you listen. You know what it's like when you've had a wane. Like you're up all night, you know. And I mean,
I know,
maybe
but
she was in the hospital for a couple of days so you could get away to play. But
well, yeah,
like,
that's true. He did well regardless yesterday, so I don't think it's affected him too much. See, just on that, I saw a brilliant reply to our Twitter account, and it was from Malky McPhee, who everybody will know. He says, and this isn't one of the comments that we were reviewed later on. He says, "Fantastic win. Full team really dug in the second half to get the points. What a week though for Brad Spencer. He gets a win bonus and the child benefit kicks in. Ka-ching." Brilliant.
Brilliant. Superb. Aye, so congratulations to Brad and his partner Rihanna on the birth of their son. And then could put a birthday shout out in birthday corner. We've actually got a birthday now for Irving Robertson, whose his birthday is on the 31st of December. That's from Elaine and all the family, and he watches on YouTube. So happy birthday, Irving. I hope you have a great day on Hogmanay. And happy birthday also to Fred Bammer, who is 21, and that is from William as well. So there you go. Happy birthday, Fred. Fred's been on the podcast before, so happy birthday to you, mate. And 21, there you go. A couple of players at his birthdays this week. Tonton Makoko. Oh my word. Remember Tonton?
I do. He do. He obviously didn't, famously didn't play any games for us, but he not any competitive games anyway. Because I think he only played in the friendlies that summer. But Yogi at the time was a massive fan of him, and obviously he did go on to become a bit of a Champman legend.
Aye, so there you go. I remember just he was just like when we was over in Bydavici, Tonton was just like there on trial and stuff, and Yogi would
Aye.
seem to love the boy.
He did.
Happy birthday as well to Alex Smith. He's now in Australia, Alex. His birthday's actually on Christmas Day. Obviously, Alex was a massive influence around the club when he was with us. You know, he obviously took charge of the team a couple of times as interim manager as well. But I remember everyone speaking up Alex Smith, the young boys. I think it was Presley at the time as well, and seeing what a massive influence he was.
I remember Scott Arfield was very, very complimentary about him, as you would expect people to be. But Alex Smith, like, what I know, he's retired now, obviously, and as you said, living in Australia. But he did us a turn the two times that he was interim manager, and he was obviously assistant manager to, well, what was it, firstly Eddie May, and then Stephen Presley. So no, listen, he's done his bit for the club, and he was obviously a local guy as well. Had the boozer in the town at one point as well, didn't he? So he knew all about the club and the town and the fans.
Yeah, no, then a happy birthday as well to Liam Craig. He's only going to be 39, Liam Craig. That can't be right, Ross. Surely God.
According to Better Medal, it's right. However, see, when I read that and had written it down, I thought, I'm not sure.
I'm not convinced Liam Craig's 39.
Well, do you think he's younger?
Older.
Aye, I think he was older as
aye,
well.
Aye. I mean, I think he's about age as was.
Well, I thought that as well, but according to Better Medal, let me give it a quick Google, because I know Better Medal. I would have said Better Medal is pretty accurate, but
yeah, I know Liam's wife also works at the club as well. But I know he's 39. Jesus Christ!
There you go.
There you go. 86, there you go. So happy birthday, Liam. Former teammate of us.
He'll be raging that we thought he was 44, 45.
I know. He's played for the Falkirk Daft team the last two seasons in the charity game that we've played, and he's ran the show every single time. It's just like the tactics. Get the ball to Liam Craig is always the tactics. And saying that, though, Jamie Swinney is a very good player as well. Played with us, him and Liam Craig, the midfield pivot. Incredible stuff. And Harry Burgoyne, 28th of December. Remember Harry, he was on loan from Wolves, I think, when we got him.
He was, yep.
Great goalkeeper. He's going to be 29 on the 20th of December. Yeah, Harry, I'd love to have seen Harry come back to the Bairns at some point. As he still, I think, has a kind of, I've seen him tweet about Falkirk now and again.
Yeah, he still gets involved on social media. I was actually quite, when I saw he's down at Alfreton Town now, that will mean nothing to you, John, but from where my dad was born and bred, Alfreton's not far away from that place. So I've been through Alfreton a few times, and it is not a big place at all. So he's obviously still catching a ball for Alfreton Town in the National League, but he was a competent goalkeeper for us. He did well.
He came in at a tough time as well. So, yeah, no, I always thought he was decent for us. Going into the club news now, the board put out a message this week. It was really, really good reads, really well done. And all good.
There's not a lot in there that we've maybe not heard before. I don't think there was anything like groundbreaking in there. But if we are up there as the sort of, in my opinion, John, as the chief communicators in Scottish football just now, like, you see some of the basket cases, that some of the statements that get put out from not just the lower league teams like Hamilton Accies, they're obviously having a right shite time. But like you see some of the statements that Rangers, Celtic, Aberdeen for that matter put out, but Falkirk are head and shoulders above. It's always really good content. It's always really well written with the fan at heart. So, and thank you to them as well, because we got a small mention in it for the hosted of the lounge as well. But yeah, really good update for the club.
Yeah, it's always good to you know, I see a lot of fans complimenting it as well, a lot of fans supporters complimenting it. Dundee tickets on sale, obviously that's our next game on the 27th. I'll be heading up. I'm actually, just coincidentally, I'm up seeing St Andrews, seeing my in-laws then, so on the Boxing Day, so that's just nice and handy for me. I'll just jump across.
Oh, that's good, Denny. You're going to stay over?
Yeah, we're staying over in St Andrews on the 26th, so the girls are going to go shopping, and me and Finlay are going to go to the football on the 27th, so that's the plan now anyway.
Good. That'll be good. I think there'll be a real, well, obviously there was a brilliant crowd at Killy yesterday, but I think there'll be an even bigger crowd up at Dundee, just because, you know, it's like in between Christmas and New Year, people do tend to want to try and get out of the house if they can. It's not a million miles away. It's like an hour and 10 up the road or something. So I think there'll be, could be pushing 2,000 fans up there. We had 2,000 up at Dundee United in November. So
yeah.
Maybe I'm doing us a disservice, and there'll be even more than that. But
Yeah.
huge, huge game again.
Yeah, and our huge game is obviously the cup tie against Hearts, and we've got the full Rosebourne stand for that. Obviously, because it's the Scottish Cup, we get a different allocation. Ticket price is decent as well, Ross. £22 for an adult
Yeah.
for that match as well. Over 65 is £15 for the concession, under 18 is £10, and under 13 is £5. It's a good
Could have
day
been
out as
worse.
well.
Yeah, it's a good day. It could have been a lot worse. Really reasonable prices. I think Falkirk again will take a very healthy crowd through. I don't know. Maybe I'm doing us a disservice. I don't think we'll sell the full stand, but I think we'll have a right good go at it. See, if it wasn't on TV, John, I would be backing on for I'd be backing us 100% to fill that stand.
Yeah, and at 8 o'clock on a Saturday night as well, it's no great for everyone, is it? Like in
No,
terms
it's not, and you might find that some of the kids don't want to go through on a Saturday night
of...
either. So I think there will be. I still think there will be a couple of thousand Falkirk fans through at Hearts that night. But huge, huge opportunity. Listen, I know I said this on a group chat earlier on, but I would take getting pumped to the cup if it meant we did well in the league this year. So if we could
Yeah,
just
I know that
concentrate
Hearts
on.
might be focused on the league and they might be saying the exact same thing of like,
Very
we're
true.
like, so they might play a weakened side. Hearts, you say Hearts weakened side, you look at the strength coming off their bench at the moment. So
Yeah,
you never know, you never know.
you
You've
never know.
got a chance, you've got a chance, but it'll be a good day out in Edinburgh as well. I'm pretty sure it's going to be absolutely riotous if a whole bunch of bairns are heading through. I suspect they'll be heading through in the afternoon,
Oh,
drinking
yes.
in the city and then heading to Tynecastle, so it should be a good day out.
Absolutely, absolutely. No, it will be a very good day out and a real healthy crowd, and it's one to look forward to as well.
Taking a young man to that one, so you should enjoy that. Under 19s won 5-2 against Edinburgh City on Tuesday night. The main thing about that though is Aidan Nesbitt and Cole Donaldson both getting minutes under their belt.
Yeah, fantastic to see. That was brilliant. I didn't see that at the time. Somebody had alerted to us on our chat about it, and I saw the pictures and I thought, brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. Do you know, both players have been massive servants for Falkirk the last few years. Not really played well. Has Cole kicked a ball in the Premiership? Yeah, I don't think he has,
No,
has
he's
he?
not. No, not
No.
he.
And Nizzy obviously got injured quite early on into the season, so. Yeah, about it's like two brand new signings almost at this time of year. So it's never a bad thing,
I
especially
wonder.
with the way our injuries have been.
You wonder what the situation. Well, obviously we've got Ryan Edwards and all that deal to January. I
Yeah.
wonder if, one call comes back, they'll try and save the money a wee bit. And I think Ryan Edwards, in actual fact, anytime he's come off the bench, he's not done anything wrong or anything like
No.
that. And he's a great physical presence to bring on there. But you wonder, will we save a bit of money and then maybe look to strengthen other areas if we've got Cole coming back into the side?
Quite possibly. If we can, I would rather keep Ryan Edwards as well. If we can do that with the money. John will obviously be a bit conscious. He doesn't want to have a too big a squad. But then, as we've seen in the first half of the season, at one point we had
Needed
what,
it before.
8 or 9 injuries. So if he can, I think if he can afford Ryan Edwards as well as everybody else, I think he'll keep him. Oh, that's my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see with that. Surprised actually, I thought they might one of the two of them might have made the bench yesterday, but no, they missed out. So we'll see what happens with Aidan and Cole. I saw Cole actually, he was on the camera today for the before the Rangers Hearts game. He was there with his dad. I could see.
As in the TV camera picked him out, did
Yeah,
they?
oh, because my brother was doing the TV camera and he was looking along and said, "Oh, there's Cole Donaldson." So I saw he was in there, and I saw Ricey there as well, actually, as well. So, there you go.
Cole
So,
wasn't doing anything that he shouldn't have been, should he?
I don't think so. I think he was just there to see his bloody beloved Jambos, to be honest with you.
I had visions of like Hearts having just scored and he's going like that to the Rangers
No,
fans.
it wasn't one of those. It was just pre-match. You saw Cole and his dad were there,
Fair enough.
so a big Hearts supporter, obviously, Cole. But
Yes.
I know it's fingers crossed the boys can get back onto the bench and then maybe get some minutes under the belt as well in the Premier League. It would be good to see. And congratulations to Gordon Prophet, Prof, and Mark Sibbs. I spoke to Mark in the 1876 lounge the other week there. They did 42 grounds in 24 hours and raised £5,000 for the Be Heard charity. And I can't remember the name of the other charity off the top of my head,
It
but
was evil. I think it's the Evil Foundation,
right,
John.
the Evo Foundation. So they raised £5,000 for charity by accomplishing 42 grounds in 24 hours. That's some effort. Love that. Yeah. That must have been such a strategic plan to get around all 42. You might have had to like strategically plan that.
Yeah, no, they did really well. I saw the pictures, and then I bumped into Gordon outside the turnstiles yesterday. I must admit, he was looking a little bit tired, as you would expect. So, but yeah, no, a massive achievement, and that's a lot of money for both charities. And as we've heard and saw recently from raising money for Be Heard as well, it's going to make such a difference to the families that are being supported.
And I saw little Brooks McCann actually with the captain's armband yesterday, because Brad couldn't, obviously we were stuck up in the top tier, so Brad couldn't get to anyone. So Brooks McCann picked up the armband for yesterday. Brilliant stuff.
Brilliant. I loved that picture. That was phenomenal. And yeah, shout out to Kenny Stoddart, who, as people will know, is a big part of the sort of Falkirk home games at the tunnel, looks after the mascots and stuff. And it was his young lad who, I believe, helped get the Brad's attention over to get the armband for Brooks, which is amazing.
Brilliant, love that, absolutely love that. Listen, before we get into the game and talk about it, in the company of the one and only Lewis Connolly, former Falkirk TV commentator, we're going to say thank you to Behind the Wall. The festive period is wild at Behind the Wall, and that's because it's one of the best pubs in Falkirk, and of course home of the Falkirk Daft Venom, which is obviously on sale, and the only place you can get the Falkirk Daft Venom in the town. So get yourself involved with that. And there's bus tickets for Dundee. They're still on sale now. It's £12.50 return. And obviously get a pint of Carling when you get back. So the Carling Falkirk Daft coach running up to Dundee. So phone up the pub, get booked on that. There's Christmas and New Year nights out still, and there's still tables available to book. If you've not got anything to do at Hogmanay, that could be a shout for you. They've got a Burns Night by the Tri-Theatre on the 23rd of January, and Fleeting Rumours, which are a tribute to Fleetwood Mac, they're in there on the 31st of January as well. Check out all the entertainment at behindthewall.co.uk, and like I say, still tickets available on the away bus to Dundee, so get involved with that. Right, okay, let's talk Kilmarnock now, and we're going to do it in the company of the one and only Lewis Connolly.
Hi guys, thanks to be on. Thanks very much for having me on the show.
Great to have you back, Luby. Great to have you back. You know, you're usually my ginger god replacement, but then most of you've lost most of the ginger hair, the two of yous now. So you know, we have to consider.
Well, Ross, that's fighting talk. I tell you, he's playing.
Exactly. We'll burst him next time we see him. And remember, I'm African sunset. Never get this.
Caribbean gold. Yep.
Absolutely. Luby, thanks for jumping on. There's no point in asking your Falkirk story because everyone knows your Falkirk story. But I'm going to ask you one of our questions from the bucket hat of joy, the Falkirk Daft bucket hat, and I will grab one out at random for you. What are we going to go for this week? It is, what's the most random bit of Falkirk memorabilia you have?
Oh, geez.
You're the man. You obviously got the shirt collection to die for. You've got a shirt collection to die for. But have you got anything random like that you've picked up over the years? I have got Paul Mather's shin guard lying about somewhere, which I got from one of the last games.
That's random as fuck.
I don't know where it is now. But yeah, my brother gave it to me. Paul Mather's shin guard, there you go. Luby, you must have some mental stuff.
There's a few. There's various just bits of paraphernalia that I've picked up over the years. One that probably sticks in my mind was staggering out of Behind the Wall at about 1 a.m. years ago. It must have been summer of 2003. And we walked down Hope Street, as you do. And, of course, at that time, the demolition was going on in Brockville. Walking down there with my best mate and two other boys who probably it's best they remain nameless at the moment. And they decide, you know what, we want a couple of bricks. So, lo and behold, one boy gets volunteered to go through the old fire door at the back of Terracing. Comes back out a few minutes later. And lo and behold, three or four bricks get turfed out half of the fire dome. So we're walking down Graham's Road 10 minutes later, and Jimmy's like, do you smell something? Anyway, long story short, the daft bastard had picked one out the pishers.
Oh no.
And he's standing there, he'd lifted like three for the wall for us, and without realising, the one he'd picked up for himself was for the, now, if you'd ever been in the Hope Street end, right? Like, I reckon I can still smell that to this day.
Oh, my God. It was the worst. You know, it's like that scene from Trainspotting. It was the worst toilets in Scottish football. Those Hope Street toilets were
brutal.
See,
the thing is, there wasn't even a urinal. You were literally just pishing against the brickwork.
Trough.
Yep. So, yeah. Oh, wow. That's horrific.
That is horrific. Horrific.
I don't know what you were going to say there, but that has blew my mind.
Happy to help.
There you go. Ross, you must have some random stuff as well, I reckon.
Not like a pish stained brick. if I'm being honest. I've just got the usual stuff, like there's tops and things. I think and I don't have it now, sadly, and I can't remember what I did with it. I've obviously given it to someone. But I've got a similar story to Lewis. So it was the day of the last game against Inverness on the whatever something of May it was. And we'd all went up the town, and Matt Stewart and I said we were going to go down to Brockville. And I can't even think why we said we were going down, but he ended up giving me a Cali code. When we got to the turnstile, I was a bit lighter then, and I got the we taken out. You remember the metal sign that used to tell you what season ticket card it was?
Yeah.
So I took the number 18 out of the little holder that it was in. I don't know what I've done with it. Someone's got it because I've given them it, but we slid that out. So I suppose that's probably a random one as well.
That's cool. Obviously, here in Falkirk Daff, we don't condone thievery or robbery of bricks or season ticket numbers. We don't do that in Falkirk Daff. But listen, let's talk football now, boys. You two made it down to Rugby Park. Good day for you, Lewis. We heard about Ross's stories, and do you have a good day out?
Yeah, it was always good to be out with the guys and just enjoyed yourself as you do. A few refreshments before the game, and end of the day, 3 points and up the road. Can't get much better than that.
Absolutely. Three changes to the side that lost to Hibs. That was Leon McCann, Brian Graham and Dylan Tate all coming in for Sam Hart, Alfie Agyeman and Ethan Ross. It was... I don't know if they were expecting... I think we've talked on here. I think the supporters have discussed that. Alfie is the nine. He's better off the bench. And certainly he's better off the bench going wide than he is the nine. In Cincinnati, he did okay at Hibs. He did, you know, there was obviously the ball through, which could have, for Ethan Ross, which could have resulted in a goal. But yeah, it was probably the changes you would have made.
Yeah, I think for me, I think there was no real surprise at Brian Graham coming back in. I think John McGlynn's made comments before that he has to kind of slightly manage him a little bit. You know, the expectation that we all do respect him. You know, at his age, he may not play every week and every game. I'm sure, though, he would like to. And then the good thing is, of course, you know, yesterday, he completely showed that age is just a number. I thought in the second half, he was absolutely terrific. In terms of the other two changes... I was really glad to see Leon.
I'm sure I've been saying Hibs, it's Hearts, obviously. It was the last game rather than Hibs. I'm sitting here going, yeah. But again, Sam Hart, I think, you know, he was brought in for his physicality against Hearts. And then Leon, who hasn't really put a foot wrong, Ross, is, you know, probably is a bit hard done by it to be dropped by Hearts, but I think that was a tactical thing rather than anything
I think it probably was. However, as you said, he's not done anything wrong. He's been so consistent in the games that he's played this season. Delighted for him personally, because he's obviously had over the years. Lewis, you and I talked about it with a few others yesterday on the bus going through. He's had his knocks, because he's obviously been dropped at certain games for over the last couple of seasons. In fact, 3 seasons since John McGlynn came in, because he was ever present in his first season from memory. And then, since John came in, as we always joke, John prefers large men. And Leon is
Who
not
doesn't?
The tallest. Yeah, Leon's not the tallest. But I tell you one thing, and we're not talking about forward average yet, but Leon McCann, he absolutely stole a lot of the show yesterday. He really did.
There was yeah. Points where he was all over that pitch. He was at right back. He was in the middle of the park. He was at left back. And there was, I think it was like three like consecutive challenges across different areas of the park. It was phenomenal. I think that could be a spoiler alert for Falkirk Daft rated a bit later on.
Yeah, awesome. I take the point as well, Ross, because I think that, you know, you make the point about Sam coming in and the extra height you're saying, John, but I just think Leon McCann's a guy that loves to prove John McGlynn like wrong constantly. You know, the number of times you think he's about to be replaced and somebody taller, somebody more physical, and every time the wee man fights his corner, and every time he keeps coming back, you know? I mean, he's been on the ropes more times than Rocky Balboa, and he just keeps coming out swinging every time, and credit to him, because I'm not going to be disparaging about Sam Hart, but there is a difference in the two of them for me. Leon, I mean, half the size, some people will say, but I would argue twice the player. And yeah, it was terrific. So I wasn't surprised at that change. And to answer your earlier question, Dylan Tate, that was the one that confused us a wee bit around who was going to be in the number 10 position. Because you looked at it and at first you were like, well, is it going to be Henry, Brad and Dill as a flat three? Or would John keep one of them as he did in the number 10?
Yeah, I mean, it did tend to look to me, it looked to be a flat three as opposed to playing 10 and just feeding, you know, stuff into to Brian and out to the wings, because it did seem that way, and he seemed to rotate quite a bit as well, Henry, Dylan and Brad, and dropping in deep as well. But yeah, I mean, Henry Cartwright, you know, he was in from the start. A lot of people been... That's the first time I think we've seen all three of them play together, am I right? Really?
I think there was one other game, but it escapes me what it was.
Was it against Rangers, maybe? Was it maybe against Rangers? No, because Henry came off the bench to obviously score.
Correct.
That one.
There was an away game, I'm sure, that happened, and it escapes me what one it was. But yeah, we've not seen it often.
Do you think that midfield three works?
I thought they all did things, like some really good things yesterday individually. I don't know if they all work as a... But then they're not as a threesome, because obviously you've got Brad and Henry. I think, listen, in terms of the centre mid, defensive mid, however you want to hold a midfielder, I don't think it really matters which one plays, because they're all very competent in that job. We the first half, probably especially, we didn't really get ourselves up the park a lot, though. Like, we had a little bit of the ball, and when we had a couple of small things happen, but nothing was sticking. And it wasn't just, oh, Dylan's not getting on the ball, like Kyrell wasn't really getting involved, and Calvin didn't have his best game in like ever yesterday in general, but like his first half he was pretty quiet as well. So it's not to say I don't think it worked, but then Henry getting that booking, obviously Stephen McGinn said that was the reason Henry came off, and we did think that might happen when we saw Finn Yates get called back in. We did think it might have been Henry, because you know what Henry's like, he's 110%, he goes through everybody like a dose of diarrhea, and him on a booking in a game like that, you don't want us to go down to 10 men potentially.
No, first half, Lewis, I mean, I think it's fair to say we're probably lucky getting in 0-0. A lot of missed chances from Kilmarnock. You know, Scott Bain saying that didn't have a real save to make, but there was some big chances for Kilmarnock in that first half.
Yeah, three in particular. I spoke to one of the Killy guys I know for the Scotland games last night, and he said that from their perspective, when it got to halfway, you know, they looked at it as three times he got to the byline in behind the defence, three times he cut it back to about 10 yards out, and three times their striker, fair play to them, managed to get a wee half yard on someone, get ahead of the man. And they made contact every time. And all three times, they missed the target. Not even forcing Scott Bain into, you know, a save. Once over the bar, twice wide of the post. And as he was saying, like, you know, they were there at half time, and they must be sitting in that dressing room going, we've edged this game. The laddie Watson, for me, I can see why the old firm have been looking at him.
Yeah, it was that lovely bit of skull when he got by the guy, and then,
I've seen him in a few Scotland under-21 games as well, and he's always been a kind of standout. I think the lad will get a move fairly soon. Yeah. And I just thought he was really kind of running the show for them. But, you know, they must have been sitting there at half-time going, we've edged this game, we've had three great chances, and we're sitting here with nothing to show for it.
I thought it was really interesting as well. Obviously, I thought one of their standout players was Tyrese John-Jules as well. He started on the right, and then he got moved over to the left and switched Kilty onto McCann, and that seemed to make a difference because he wasn't getting any change at Leon McCann at all. But when he switched them onto the other side, Philip Lisa, I thought, had a poor game yesterday. I don't think he had the best game he's ever had in the navy blue. But Tyrese Jones-Jules on the other side seemed to get a lot more change out of him than he did McCann. I thought it was interesting.
Going to be controversial. I think Phil, he didn't have his best game, but I actually think it was Kyrell that was more the worry for me.
Tracking back.
Exactly. I think there was at least four or five times I noticed that respectfully, Philip actually had two men. And that's why you thought, you know, he couldn't cope with two men. Of course not. But, Kyrell works his socks off. But just the last week or two, I wonder if it's just like a wee bit being slightly jaded, or there's a few of the guys, to be honest with you, the last two, 3 weeks, if I didn't know better, you would think there was a wee bit of tiredness with one or two. But realistically, with a squad our size, you know, we don't have the luxury of mass squad rotation that some of the bigger teams have. I take your point. I think they did get some joy down their left flank.
See, in terms of Philippe, though, I think he didn't have his best game. But then we need to remember, he, as Lewis just said, he's not a right back either. He's been very competent for Falkirk, either at left back or he's played centre half, where he's done really
well. But
really
is he not a right back? He's all right foot. I mean, I've read through things, he's played pretty much everywhere in the park.
He did clear his lines quite a bit, though. So, from a defensive perspective, I thought he was better than he was offensively going forward. I thought we missed Keelan. Hopefully, he's back next week. He's obviously, from an offensive perspective, he's probably our best defender going forward. Connor Allen might disagree after his goal against Dundee a few months back. But for me, I think we do miss Keelan. But I think... You didn't see a lot of Philip going up and doing the wing yesterday. It was more so just doing his job, clearing the ball when he had to. He got, like, there was a few, in the second half, which I will come to, Philip was in the danger zone at points. Like, he got his head bashed in off the keeper. There was another one where he was in a bit of a scuffle. So he's putting himself about. He does
put himself about. The biggest chance, I guess, was when Brian Graham went through and we were 4-on-3 and he probably just took the wrong option rather than feeding it out to the wings. He just decided to take a shot, but it's Brian Graham. He's a striker. He's got to do that. But that was probably where I would say I don't remember any big chances beyond that.
Just the one? No, I think you're right. Yeah. I think realistically, the big three chances at the half were all Kilmarnock, and then things reversed, obviously, in the second half.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The big change which we saw at halftime, which we talked about there, Henry Cartwright picked up the booking, so Finn Yates comes on in for the second half, and the boy just had a fire lit under him yesterday. From the first whistle of that second half, he was on it and all over that park, and such a nuisance.
He lived up to his nickname, didn't he? He lived up to his nickname of Finny Esther yesterday. He was brilliant. And I'm so glad Falkirk TV talked to him after the game, because we've obviously not seen much of him this year. Like, I think he said himself, he got 70 minutes the other week there, and he's had 45 there just now. I'd like to see more of him. I really would.
100%, yeah. But then where does he go? That's the one part of the park that we're really strong in is when you've got Tate and Spencer and Cartwright.
He played the 10, though. We saw, remember last year against Celtic, he played the 10 role phenomenal that night.
Then you're going to look at dropping a Calvin Miller. You were looking at...
That's fine. I'm not saying drop Calvin Miller, but you're saying there about Kyrell maybe not having a great couple of weeks. Give him a bit of a break. And because we're okay for cover really in the forward areas, apart from obviously the striking position, but out wide we've got plenty of cover, and you just think keep Calvin out in the left, keep Calvin out in the wing, and give Finn. I would start Finn against Dundee. I really would.
Who's interesting? And who would you drop
for against Dundee? Actually,
yeah,
I think. It'll be a toss-up of either Dylan Tate or Henry Cartwright in the beside Brad, and then I would play Finn in the 10, and I would have Calvin and Ethan Williams, if he's recovered. I think it's him that's had the cold,
So is
apparently.
it Ethan? So Ethan Williams, he obviously, I you know what, I'm always very much of the opinion if Ethan Williams is fit, Ethan Williams should
He'll play. He
play.
should play.
So I mean, you'd said he's got the flu because I'm always of that opinion. Like in terms of quality of football, Ethan Williams is there. He's right up there. Just in terms of his awareness, his touch is phenomenal. It's
I don't
absolutely
think we need a
phenomenal.
lot of wholesale changes next week. I really don't.
No.
But I think if Keelan's fit again, if, and that is an if, does he come straight back in or is he on the bench? Because there's obviously no reserve games this week. So is he really going to put Keelan back in for 90 minutes? I'm not sure. But I think if even if you've got him on the bench, that would be something. But no, I think it'll be a toss-up between Henry and Dylan. Personally, I would keep Dylan in the starting lineup.
And played Finn in the 10.
I'd play. I think he deserves it after his second
Yeah,
half. I thought he deserved it.
but then I guess where most of his best stuff comes from Finn is from deep and winning the ball and breaking up play and getting forward and he carries the ball very well. Listen, he reminds me a bit of Mark Kerr in the way he plays. I don't know if you guys see that in the way that Finn Yates plays. He reminds me a bit of that Mark Kerr type player.
He's got a better
Right?
shot than Mark Kerr.
He's just got a better shot than Mark Kerr. Yeah, well,
Just going
that's
to say
not hard.
I'm going to be controversial. I actually think it might be Dylan's place that's more so under threat.
Interesting.
If Finn was to, really play himself into the manager's thoughts, I think there's no doubt in my mind that yesterday Finn coming on was absolutely the pivotal moment in that game.
Yeah.
Completely turned things. He did so well that, I mean, John McGlynn is very loyal to his players, rightfully so. I totally get why he does that. But that's bound to have given the manager food for thought.
Yeah.
And I know we were chatting on the way back up, Ross, to a few of the guys about, what if you had to, or if you could, what three areas would you strengthen? And we were talking about potentially a striker because we have Ross McKeever injured, Gary Oliver injured, Barney is with them, and then we've really only got Brian Graham and Trey. And Trey at the moment has yet to score. So we've seen the last few weeks Alfie playing up front and whatnot. Likewise, potentially a challenger on the right wing. And then somebody was talking about, it was Marshall, talking about, do we go central midfielder? But actually, is the answer to that central midfield just to bring Finn back in?
I mean, I don't think central midfield is an area that we're really desperate of
No,
bodies.
lower priority, definitely lower
When you
priority.
have Scott Arfield not even getting off the bench yesterday, and you have Aidan Nesbitt coming back in as well, Gary Oliver, we know, can play deep into that role. A central midfield is definitely not an area I'd look into.
No.
But yeah, I think
For me,
Robbie
it's striker, right wing in that
striker.
order.
Yeah,
See,
I think so.
when you look at yesterday, obviously Dylan kind of then in the second half hung back and played far more central beside Brad, and then Finn was just kind of hovering. He was in the 10, but he was hovering kind of anywhere in that final third, really. You just think, see that cross he puts in for the goal, which we're going to talk about in a second. Like, we don't put enough good crosses into the box, and that was a lovely,
It
lovely
was see
save.
the way that let's talk about the goal because obviously Finn was central to it. Calvin Miller feeding the ball out to Finn, and the way he hits that cross was just beautifully hit. Kyrie Wilson, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. It was definitely a shot, but we'll give Kyrie the benefit of the doubt, saying he passed it into to BBG. And for years, we've been wanting a striker like Bob Brangham. For years, we've not had that guy.
Five yards out, eh?
From 5 yards, funnily enough, from 5 yards out. But we have not had that player for years. And he just does Brian Graham things, and that's where he comes alive in that thing. He took him one touch, boom, in the net. Just get out with a knee, and then just toe poke it into the net. In and about that, and I thought, as well as his goal, I thought Brian Graham ran his arse off yesterday. He was all over that park yesterday. I mean, he was feeding off scraps, but the scrap finally came to him, and he did what Brian
It
Graham
was
does.
day and night for me, John. Honestly, I thought first half he was working away, not getting much service, to be fair to him, as you say, feeding off scraps and quiet just because of lack of supply. With that change in Finn coming on, and obviously things change, we push higher up the park, his link play massively seemed to improve. He was holding up, laying it off to guys right and left. And of course, as you just said, I think that moment with that goal yesterday shows the true value in a proper number nine.
Yeah.
Like, no disrespect to Alfie, who's kind of been shoehorned in the last week or two. But there was a few moments you can see the last couple of games where Alfie, with all due respect to him, he's not a natural at leading the line. You know, Brian Graham, just with the wealth of experience he has and that position that he plays, you know, he just knew, get in the mix, something might happen for a second ball. And lo and behold, got us the 3 points.
100%. I mean, after that, I mean, Kilmarnock really fell away from it, I thought. I mean, in fact, second half, they really didn't get going at all. We had, you know, a couple of one-on-one chances as well. With a bit more composure, Kyrie Wilson, I'm thinking about Alfie Agyeman, I'm thinking about a little bit more composure, and we're up the road feeling a bit more comfortable than we did, Ross.
See, yeah, I agree. See the two one-on-ones, though. I think I was a little bit more frustrated with Kyrie's one than Alfie's. And the watched highlights, I think that reaffirms my thoughts at the time. So Kyrie, in his defence, he came through, spun through really, really well. He needed another foot to the right just to get an extra bit of space on it. And he obviously didn't, and the keepers got it. But with Alfie's one, at the time, I thought he could have lobbed him or done something different there. But when you watch the highlights back, he's obviously absolutely thumped it, and he's aimed for in between the defender and the goalkeeper. And I think it was the defender's leg. It just moves ever so slightly, but he tried to get it through that gap, and that could have finished the game off, obviously, for us. But two big moments. But you're right, John, it was all us in the second half. Like, I know Kelly in injury time probably had their best spell of the second half, but then we made changes to try and retain the 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, the one change that I was actually crying out for, Scott Arfield on to just hold the ball in a bit more and kind of game management. Interesting that he didn't come off the bench yesterday at all, because he's always good to see out a game like that when it is 1-0. But, you know, Lewis, quite happy with the changes that were made yesterday?
I think overall, as a Finn, yeah, pivotal, absolutely. The only question was, you know, we didn't know if we would see Trey coming on for Brian Graham towards the end, or, you know, who would replace Brian, or if he would be replaced.
I mean, Brian lasted the whole bloody game. It was
exactly, and you know, all credit to him, because, you know, people say, oh, he's 38, and, you know, they try and put him down for, you know, because it's weird, because I look at Brian Graham now and compared to us, he's technically a youngster, right? But like, you look at him as a football player, and of course, you know, a lot of fans get this thing about, as soon as a player gets to 33, they're done, they're finished, their legs are gone, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, there he was, 38 years old. And second half, I honestly thought he was absolutely terrific. Full 90 minutes as well. I mean, what more can you ask for?
Lewis, you said it earlier on, though. Age, if you keep yourself fit, right, age is just a number. And I'm not going to compare Ronaldo to Brian Graham, but listen, Ronaldo can lace BBG's laces, but Ronaldo is someone who, what is he now, 40 or 41 or something, is he?
41, yeah.
Right, so take away his ability, he looks after himself, and he keeps himself fit to continue to play at that level. Brian Graham's exactly the same. I'd like to see him finish more games, and it's probably no doubt to him. Listen, there's games where, yeah, he maybe does look as if he's ran his race, at no point yesterday did it look like he'd ran his race. In fact, after the final whistle, he was there trying to get into a fight with the Kelly fans and Thompson.
I was like, I knew it as soon as because I was watching, obviously watching it on Falkirk TV, and I saw that, like, it zoomed on in the Dominic Thompson situation with the Kilmarnock fan, and then he was charging over to get involved. Obviously, big Brian Graham getting involved for no need at all. But
getting the mix on, getting the boxing gloves ready.
The best bit for me, though, was obviously there was a bit of handbags between Thompson, and like he whacked Graham away, and Graham just went, oh, fuck it. And then he's sitting like that with the away fans.
Yeah, I think I got a wee video of that. It was quality. See him dancing away.
Absolutely class. The big man, like you say, lasting the 90 minutes. I mean, we don't know, Ross McKeever, we don't know how long it's going to be till he gets back. It's certainly, but Brian needs his help. I mean, we can't be relying on Brian to play a full 90 minutes.
Well, Barney's back shortly.
Well,
Can we
this
make
is.
sure he gets like sheep dipped at the Kincardine Bridge on the way back or
This is
something?
not. This hasn't been confirmed yet, though, has it? It's not been confirmed by either club yet that he's
No,
coming
it's
back in
not. That's
January.
true.
No.
That is very
It's
true.
a great debate, though, because do you bring him back? On one hand, we need somebody to rotate with Brian, because if Trey's no scoring, then, or Sunderland made a call, Trey, he
Listen,
might not be here
the
come
two clubs
January.
haven't confirmed it, but having spoken to Barney's dad, his dad's coming to the Aberdeen game. I'm sure he's not just doing that for the sake of his own health. So.
There we go. We've hid it from the horse's mouth then. So fingers crossed, but Barney is back in January, because Brian does like, and I do think under the learning tree of Brian Graham, it's great that he's getting out there and scoring goals, consolation goals in the championship, which I love. He's scored goals, but scored consolation goals. I'm all for that, as I said in the last episode. But under the learning tree of Brian Graham, he's going to pick up so much from him.
Learning tree of Brian Graham.
Yeah,
There's a
the
sentence I didn't think we would ever
learning.
have in this
As a Falcon
podcast.
supporter, I never thought I would say the word that we have, but I
The
never thought I'd
learning
see
tree.
Brian in the navy blue for a start, and now talking about him like being Yoda of the striking world. But like, but I think that's right. I think Ross has come on. You see some of the goals that Ross has scored this season. It's been like, poachers' goals and things like that. I do think if Barney came back and working with Brian, we start molding that rawness of Barney into a real good player. And he's obviously scoring goals at Dunfermline. He's having good. So if you say to someone, right, you can go out and sign one of the best young players in the championship, you'd be like, brilliant. Great. And
It
he's,
will feel like
I
it
think
will
he's
feel like a new
seven.
signing as well, won't it? It will.
Yeah,
It
yeah,
will.
I think he's something like 7 goals in 10 games.
Yeah, something like that, Lewis. Yeah. They didn't score at the weekend, but obviously scored two during the week.
No. And
So,
it would have been three, actually, Johnny. I actually had a third one that was disallowed. Otherwise, it would have been a 9-minute hat trick.
there you go.
Brilliant.
So I like Barney coming back is what we need, and maybe we don't need to go out and say if Trey goes back. I very much suspect Sunderland will be looking at it going, boy's not getting game time, let's take him back and get him out elsewhere. And it's no slight in training. I think we've discussed this on the podcast before. It's like we just don't play in his wheelhouse the way Falkirk play. We aren't that kind of team. We did well go a bit more direct yesterday, but we aren't one of those teams that likes to get bent balls in and over the top for a fast striker. We like to get it wide as opposed to doing it going more direct like that. So yeah, it's no fault of Trey. A lot of supporters have had a lot of things to say about Trey, but listen, sometimes things just don't work out. It's not the right fit. We have seen that the right fit is, I think, you look at the loan guys that have brought in Cartwright, Wilson, Williams, they've all been a great fit for the club, but sometimes it just doesn't work out really. So I wouldn't be surprised if Trey went back to Sunderland in
Can I
January.
just say, I've also, based on the comment you made earlier on about Yoda, I've now got images of Barney running around with a harness with Brian Graham on his back, balancing stones. That'll be his training speciality in the corner.
Absolutely, I'd love to see that. But there we go. But I know. Listen, it was Brian Graham from 5 yards out. Brian Graham from 5 yards out, and it was like 3 points, huge, absolutely massive to come away. We all know how shit a time we've had at Rugby Park over the years. We won't mention some of the games gone by, but to get that Kilmarnock monkey off the back has just been massive. We just need to get a bloody big Livingston monkey off our back now, and I'll be
What a
happy.
year for it as well, though, because when you think about it, like in my lifetime, I can only think of going up to Pittodrie and winning once. I think it was Colm Healy scored the goal round about 2009. It was the baby blue shirt we had for Vaduz, so it must be about 2009. And then, this year we got to Pittodrie, we win. This year we've gone down to Rugby Park and we've won. Ah, what a team.
No, absolutely. 3 points down, and with the way position at Kilmarnock, and we'll talk about Dundee in a minute, but it just huge, huge result. Listen, let's hear from, it's not the manager, obviously he's just like thought, fuck it, it's my birthday, so I'm not bothering doing post-match interviews. So he sent
Hands
Stephen
out.
cans out,
Hands out.
he sent Stephen McGinn in his place, and this is what he had to say.
Thank you. Yeah, it was exactly what we thought it was going to be. Really physical, high intensity Scottish Premiership match. One we need to stand up to a lot of long balls and duels. And I didn't think we ever quite got going. I thought we were in the final third with a lot of kind of moves broke down and we invited pressure onto us. Probably gave Kilmarnock too many chances to put the ball in their box in the first half, and they're a dangerous team when they get balls in the box. So the manager managed to get them in at half time and asked for more, and they certainly gave us a lot more in the second half.
So what was the message at half time? Obviously give it more, but was there anything in particular that you highlighted you need to change? Because second half Falkirk just looked a far better side.
Yeah, we were just more aggressive in the game. Finn Yates obviously comes on, Henry, in a really competitive match. Henry Cartwright's on a yellow card, and you just can't. The games are too marginal to take chances on a yellow card in a game like that. So Finn Yates comes on, and Finn is a brilliant example to any young player. He turns up here not even sure if he's going to be on the bench or not, and when the manager gives him any opportunity he's ever been given here, he's grabbed it with everything he's got, and what a difference he made to us in the second half.
And after a period of time without a win, how significant is it to get back to winning ways?
Yeah, we probably didn't feel like that. I know a lot had been made of us not scoring for four games and probably not winning since Tannadice, but we were playing some of the best teams in the league. Really difficult games. Three games in a week's been really challenging for us, our first year back in the Premiership. But we're really proud of the away record we've got, the fourth win in the Premiership, coming to difficult venues like this. And I thought we were well worthy of the 1-0 in the end, and probably with the three chances, Calvin's, Alfie's and Kyrell's, if one of them goes in, you find the end of the game a lot more comfortable.
There we go, Stephen McGinn. I think it was young Josh Heggie asking the questions this week.
I wasn't sure who the voice was.
That was Josh asking the questions. Adam must have fucked off as well with John McGinn for cans.
See when you're sharing your screen, John, sorry, just for a laugh. Go and humour me a second.
Right.
He'll thank me for this.
Right.
Go into Wikipedia. Just type into Google, right, Stephen McGinn, and click on his Wikipedia page,
right,
and look at the picture. Is Stephen McGinn.
Right, let's go. We're showing this live now. Let's go, Stephen McGinn.
Is he naked?
Is he naked?
Well, I can change it if you want me to.
Right, Stephen McGinn.
Do you remember Dawson's Creek?
Yes, I remember. See where you're going with that. Look at.
Yeah, I never watched that, so I have no idea what that means.
There you go. You think he looks like a young Dawson?
No, it just looks 12 is my point.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Look at young Steve.
All the pictures they possibly could have used him, that's the one they've gone for. It's almost as bad as the one of Calvin Miller on FB Ref. It's a belter as well.
Do you know what? You forget that obviously Stephen's the same age as Scott Arfield and younger than Brian Graham as well. That's mental when you think about it as well. There you go. But what a career he's had when you look at that. There you go, young Stephen McGinn.
See, to answer the query about Stevens, obviously took the horns there with the media duties. I heard, I can't remember what game it was recently, it was a home game, and I was told that Paul, Stephen and John are rotating, so after every win, they're rotating it.
So if you watch back
on YouTube with Falkirk TV, sometimes it's John, sometimes it's Paul, but if it's a loss, it's John. But if it's a win or a point, I think it's they take turns.
Oh, that's interesting, because obviously John has, and the guest in terms of media duties as well, John has to go away and do the BBC and Sky away, yeah, now as well, because obviously we didn't really have that in the Championship or League One. So yeah, that makes sense. There you go. So there, good to hear from Stephen. I'll always like hearing from Stephen. Let's hear what you had to say about the game yesterday. Jonathan kicks us off saying Finn Yates changed the game when he came on at half time, surely in for a shout to start at Dundee. Well, Ross thinks so.
I would say so. Ross Govan says, definitely a scrappy one, but we'll take the 3 points and clean sheet all day long.
Wally Henderson, the dad of Liam, the whole team worked their socks off to a man, but a special mention for Leon and Finn. You can't miss out your own son, Willie, for goodness sake. You can't, you know what I mean? I tell you what, talking about, there was a lot of injuries, a lot of head knocks in that game yesterday. It just seemed to be every other minute there was a head knock of delight. I think it was one point where I think Philip and Liam absolutely sandwiched the boy in the middle of the park and managed to batter heads off each other. But
Philip got clattered by the keeper as well, like a double-handed punch. He took right in the side of the head at one point.
Yeah.
Do you know what's interesting? See that moment you're talking about with Leon and Philip. There was loads of Kelly fans raging the fact that they didn't go off, but they obviously don't know the rule that if two of them's down, they don't have to go off. So
I
if
didn't
you've
know that
got,
either. There you
so if
go.
you've got two players of your same team who are injured, it was Mourinho who, I think it was back in the day, he exploited this quite a bit because he used to tell one of his players to go down if somebody else is down, and then he doesn't need to go off.
I did not know
Well,
that rule. There you go.
interestingly, Philippe though, is that the new French boy that signed?
Listen, it's Philippe. You guys are bastardizing his name with this
Phil,
Philip and
Phil,
Phil.
it's Phil Lisa. It's Phil Lisa. Elsa
See,
says,
on that though,
right.
just so you know, it's a wee festive cracker joke for you
Oh,
here.
here we go. Here we go. Brace
The
yourself.
inventor of the sandal was Frenchman,
Oh,
Philippe
Jesus
Philip.
God.
Philip.
Oh,
Get out. Just get out.
just do Elsa's comment, Ross.
Oh well. Elsa, she says, really had to dig out that one today. It's not pretty at times. Great to see us score again with a BBG goal between the posts. McCann was brilliant and great to see Finiesta bringing energy and skill in the second half. What a time to be a Bairn and 24 points at Christmas.
Central gas. There you go. Just general central gas. No name for that. Just central gas. I thought Leon was outstanding today. Even when he got caught with the ball over the top in the first half, still worked back and won the ball. Much better team showing in the second half. A great result. Merry Falkirk Christmas. I like that.
It's just some free advertising for Central Gas.
Yeah, happy to go. Central gas for all your gas needs, everyone.
Tam Black says, relieved, to be honest, a valuable 3 points on the road. Back to scoring ways, so gets that monkey off her back. And another huge team effort to grinding out a result. Merry Christmas, Bairns.
Caroline, Brian Graham, top goal scorer. Finn Yates, just class. Leon, brilliant as per. Another pre-Christmas win and 3 points and a Falkirk biscuit at the pie stall. Scenes.
I saw people with those yesterday.
I
That's been a
missed
fair
that.
play.
An Empire biscuit with a Falkirk logo on it.
Oh, see, I saw there was an Empire biscuit like label on the side of the front of the wee rack thing, but it was empty. And then nobody told me anything about a Falkirk one.
Yeah, it was
Yeah.
you know how Brownings do the Kelly Pie? Well, they obviously do Empire biscuits as well.
I do like an
So
Empire biscuit. I
it's
have
like
to
the behind the
say.
wall print on your pint.
Yeah, pretty much. I do. I tell you what, I do like as well. By the way, just an aside as well. The wee shop up in Larbert that's up beside the industrial estate basically has just been taken over, and there's Finn and Donaldson, and they do the best fudge donuts ever. I highly recommend it. Like it's 2 quid. It's the
Are
two
we
quid for.
talking better than a Baines fudge
Mate,
donut?
I will go to t this. But I'm now got an addiction to these fudge donuts where I have to
This
go
is a bold claim. All right,
at
I'm
least
here for this.
what
Now we're
right.
talking.
Okay, Lewis. Right, so you know we're up in the north, up at the North Broomage, that wee shop has just been taken over. The wee, but go there, try the fudge donut. Give me your review. Get back to me.
On it.
See, free advertising for them. They should be
So
advertising
that's
here as well.
Central Gas. What's the name
I
of the shop
know.
again?
There was Finn and Donaldson have taken over the bakery
There we
section,
go.
and you get your
There we go.
perfect draft there as well, which is really
Talk about
handy
a
as
bunch
well.
of middle-aged men just talking about things that keep you fat and warm, right?
There
We've reached the comfy stage of life now, guys.
The thing is, though, we saw that yesterday on the bus. See, 25 years ago, it was a bottle of Lamborghini getting passed on the bus. Yesterday, it was a bag of sweeties.
Oh, for God's sake, you boys have let me down.
I mean, to be fair, it was Joe that brought the sweeties, but we're not going to say no to your packing bags, are you? Bob Simpson says Finn Yeats came on and changes the game. That boy struggled to get on the park for the last 18 months, but every time he plays, his work rate and positioning are second to none. He must start next week.
Yeah, the campaign for Finn starting continues. Ada's dad, today's display is what won his League One and the Championship. Sheer grit, determination, never saying die. Love this team. 24 points before Christmas, truly all the gift that I could have asked for. And now we are on the number of the beast in terms of the table. Six wins, six draws, six losses, 666, the number of the beast. There we go. So yeah, there we go. Let's get
16
into it.
points to go.
Yeah.
16 points to go, boys, and we can do this all again
Six,
next year.
16 points. I think it'll be less than that this year, Lewis. I think
Probably. The way it's looking, it might be, but I'd rather still be safe.
I think 37. I think you're getting away with between 35 and 37 points this year because the way the league's playing out with all these draws everywhere, you look at that league table, oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, when especially, the only thing I would say against that, though, is that obviously people are picking up points
against Celtic and Rangers that they wouldn't normally have picked up. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, we've been very good. We picked up, obviously, 2 points up off against Rangers. Who would have thought that at the start of the season? You're sitting here saying that we're unbeaten against Rangers. Unbelievable stuff. But we'll wait and see. But 40 points is obviously what they say. I think 3 points against Dundee next week is massive. We'll talk about that just in a minute. But let's first of all do Falkirk Daft rated for the week. I think it's a spoiler alert here, but I'll come to you first, Ross.
There's a few that it could be, to be fair. But I am going to go with my gut, which is for his overall performance. And I know he was subbed off, but I'm going to still say Leon McCann.
Leon McCann, Lewis.
Seconded. Terrific. Yeah. The wee man was just brilliant all game.
Honourable mention, as you said, by Brian, Finiesta, some amazing performances, but yep, Leon absolutely. For me as well.
Yeah, it was Leon as well. Seconded.
You could say it was a finspirational performance.
Oh, you talk about his Christmas jokes, man.
Yes, take that one. There's the show title for this week. Right, and let's go for the Dafty. Who do we think the Dafty is? I think it's got to be Dominic Thompson for the end, just absolutely going in on. Honestly, I thought he was going to jump over and batter the boy because he wasn't happy. I don't know if you've seen the TV pictures. I was watching it live. And the boy's like, the first boy he goes for, they kind of sort the things out and he shakes his hand. But then there's another boy behind that he goes for. I don't know what's been said. I mean, I hope it's not anything racial or anything like that. But
no, I think that it came out that it's not anything personal. Right. I think it's just somebody's obvious. Listen, you can understand why they've lost their egg. We've been in these positions before where it's just utter dog meat in front of you, and you just need to vent. And the players obviously heard something, and he's thought, fuck this, I'm going to go and have a word with him. You can see it for both sides.
Any other Dafty nominations? You guys might have spotted something at the game yesterday.
Torn between two, either Chris Doolan, such a prolific striker to have three boys miss for 10 yards out, or a special mention to Nuts, the Killy mascot, who was given it big licks and then scuttled off after BBG stuck the ball in the net. So I'm going to go with Nuts.
It's Captain Conker, I think you'll find.
Is it?
It's not so, Nuts, it's not Captain Nuts Conker. Anymore. No, it's Captain Conker. So I'm up for giving
actually,
it
to Captain sorry, Conker. I just remembered something. Apologies, I totally forgot to say this. See, when you go to Killy Stadium and you look from the away end to your left, or the flagpoles, you've got a Hamilton tarmac flag, a random Killy flag, and a Billy Bowie special projects flag. Falkirk Stadium, you've got two league champions flags. Just going to leave you with that thought.
Listen, I'm up for getting it right. So what we got, the nominations are Killy's flags, Captain Conker, or Dominic Thompson. What are we going with?
It's a hard one, but I'm happy to go with Captain Conker as well. To be fair to him, he took the slagging well, because not only did he get question marked over his
yes, I heard that.
I'm not going to shout, say the same word, but and then there was Jimmy Savile chance as well, and I just think he took it well. Actually, no, Captain I can't. We can't give it. We can't give it Captain Conker. I think Dom Thompson.
Dom Thompson gets it.
I felt bad for Captain Conker.
He felt bad for
like random.
You felt for the giant squirrel. You felt bad for him. He's a prolific listener to Super Scoreboard and messages all the time. So I can't give it to the captain. I've tried to get him on this podcast several occasions as well. So we'll leave that door open for the captain for the next time. But there you go. All right, Captain Conker getting out, and it's Dom Thompson that gets Dafty of the week. There we go. Tied a bow on that. But before we get into Falkirk Daft versus, I'm very much looking forward to this, the two ginger gods going against each other. What are you calling it?
Caribbean Sunset,
two going against each other. Let's talk about Dundee. There's obviously not going to be a preview episode out because it's Christmas Day, so we'll just do it here. Lewis, if you're okay to stay on, let's talk Dundee. Last time out, it was a 2-1 win to the Bairns. Obviously, a wonder goal from Connor Allen. This time out, Dundee are poor at the moment. Really, really struggling down there at the bottom. It's one win in the last six for them. Obviously, suffering again defeat to Motherwell, which is no, you know, Motherwell are doing so well this season. What are you boys thinking going into this match? For me, if we get 3 points, I'm going to say it.
I think we're safe if we get 3 points from this
game. I love that, John. This is the
drawback, I know. Oh, my God. I
Christ
can't believe
it. It's the 21st of December.
If you encourage him, he's going to have that plane to Europe booked in 2 weeks at this rate.
I'm saying safe, because if we beat Dundee, we go to 27 points. Livingston have won one match, obviously against us as well, right enough. Dundee have won, Kilmarnock have won two matches and look like they're going to struggle. I don't know who they're going to bring in as manager. Chris Doolan's certainly not going to be the man in charge there. And I just think, I mean, St Mirren will come good. 100%, I think St Mirren will come good. Dundee United aren't going to stay down there. But I do think 27 points... We're on, like, the fact that Stephen Mill, that big dirty fifer, messaged me yesterday saying that's you safe now. That like, and it then he went again and said if he's go down, it's the biggest blowout of all time.
Here we go.
He's just a wind up there.
I know.
Listen, yeah. I'm not saying we're not safe, but I think for me, right, I don't see Livy hitting 30 points. So I think if once we're at 30, I'll feel really comfortable with that.
I get, by the way, I've told you, I've been speaking to the Livingston, well, one of my Livingston sources, and they are going to look as if they're going to do big business in January, certainly.
Just what I was going to say, they've got that boy Ford behind them still.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that's the worry.
The old game of poker they talk about in Hold'em, you know, the flop turns garbage to gold and gold to garbage, and you know, in this case, that's the January transfer window. I agree with what you're saying, both of you. I think at the moment we do look a better team than all of Dundee, Killy and Livy, despite our hoodoo against Livingston. I think we are a better team than all three at the moment. What we don't know, of course, is are these guys going to go out and spend big in January, and could that change things? So
all three of those teams are going to have money. Right, so that's the one thing we don't
exactly
have.
Dundee, especially
Dundee, Kelly, and Livy. Billy Bowie's is rich.
These are both assuming we're not going to strengthen as well, though, which we will.
I don't think we will.
I think the only place we'll
strengthen is we'll bring Barney back, and I can't see us.
I think one or two. John's comments in the media, was it last week or the week before? He says he's got money there to go and do something if he wishes. I personally think he'll bring... I think Lewis is right. I don't know if we'll see, like, 10. But I think, as well as Barney, I can see two coming in. But listen, he's not going to sign someone just for the sake of it. I think it'll be two starters that'll come in. I don't know what position, but I think two starters will come in.
I mean, then you go, Ross, who are the two starters? Who are the... If you're talking about bringing in two starters... Who are they? What position are they playing? Because, right, so you
go...
Striker is the only position that you would say you would need, and that's only because Brian is 38 years old. But, like, you don't... Right back, I mean, Adams, left back, McCann, none of them are getting...
See, if you've got Ross back, you've got Barney back, Brian's there. I don't know what the Gary Oliver situation is, but I think... I think he will look at a striker, but whether it's someone who's going to be like a starter, maybe a tough for that position, because I don't see him sticking with just one person for the second half of the season. I think he'll rotate it. But I think he will bring in someone or two that will be trying to claim a position for themselves. Like a bit like Ryan Edwards, right? He is good enough to be starting on our team. He's currently not there because of how well the others have done. That might be the same, whoever we bring in. They just don't get a chance or they don't get many minutes because of kind of where we're at. But I would be shocked if John McGlynn rests on his laurels. He's got money there. I think he'll use it, personally.
I don't see why you would use the money when you don't need to. That's the one thing. I think if we were in a worse position, we were, absolutely. But I don't think, you know, he's very big on the kind of team harmony side of things.
No, he is. Yes, that's true.
Try to keep everyone happy. I think what you'll see more of is more players, if they are fit, going out on loan. So those fringe players that aren't getting in and amongst the team. So you look at your Tom Langs, you maybe look at Aidan Nesbitt. If it depends how Aidan comes back, we don't know. But some of these players that are around the fringes might go out, and I think you see more movement out maybe than coming in, I would suspect, just to try and keep that core squad.
It could be. I think the big thing we need to remember is, you're right, the consistency is key. He wants to keep a strong squad. That doesn't mean he won't he won't add if he thinks he needs to, though. You're right, Livy are probably going to spend some money. Kelly, Dundee, but listen, they're still, unless they make changes at managerial level, granted Kelly just have, Livingston's still going to have Martindale at the helm. Presley doesn't look as if he's leaving Dundee anytime soon, and I'm not convinced either of these guys are going to be good long term. Longer term from now, with the football clubs that they've got, I can see Martindale taking Livy down by hook or by crook. And personally, I think Kelly will be fine. I think Dundee will finish 10th. Dundee will finish 11th.
Do you think so?
Here's the other thing we haven't quite thought about yet is let's assume for a second here, you know, Livy do go out and you know, the boy, is it Calvin Ford, bankrolls them and they go and sign five, six players. There's going to be a bedding in period for that. And as we saw at the start of this season, you know, we were looking for signings. Livy seemed to be signing every player under the sun back in the summer. And look, you know, what good has it done them? So there is the impact of, yeah, bringing in, you know, four, five, six players sounds great if you're Livy or Dundee or Kelly and you're struggling. But what about disruption in the short term? Are you going to lose all of January and half of February? You know, by the time these guys actually settle in, and then before you know it, you're running out of games to recover the position.
Dundee, I mean, Dens Park again, not a ground we've got a brilliant record at. But, like, you look down the Dundee team, there's the boy Cameron Congreve, who they've also got on loan from Swansea, looks like a right good player. Jan Danda, I'm surprised. I thought he would be a big player for them, and he's
Good
not. It's not
player.
really happened for him. Simon Murray's really dried up a bit on this season as well. Is there anyone that in
There's
that?
a temp fate
Oh,
statement.
of course it is.
Jan Danda's doing rubbish and Simon Murray's dried up.
Of course it is. But I mean, looking down at Dundee squad, is there anyone, Lewis, that you look at and sees a real threat to Falkirk at the weekend?
I mean, Murray's the obvious one. But as you say, he has had a kind of drier season. But chatting to a couple of Dundee fans I know, they're saying their big issue at the moment is a lack of creativity in the final third. So Jan Danda's come in, you know, to play as a 10, but he's saying in the wide areas at the moment, he, you know, they felt they're really, really struggling. They're just not giving Simon Murray the supply. I mean, Simon Murray, we've seen him at, you know, various teams now. The guy is a pest to play against. He's a physical nuisance. He will give as good as he gets against every centre half in that league. And fair play to the boy, he knows where the goals are. Danda, I mean, at Ross County, it was so creative, such a tricky player. Hearts, respectfully, just didn't he really get a look in because of the step up in quality. But like you, John, you know, he would have been one to watch as well. But at the moment, for whatever reason, they've kind of been quiet. So touch wood, long may it continue, you know, until kind of Boxing Day and beyond. But yeah, so apparently that they're struggling to create chances.
Right, that's interesting because, yeah, I mean, Simon Murray is, you know, effectively their version of Brian Graham, and, you know, he gets it if he's in and around that box, you know, he'll create chances. I mean, there was one point, it was getting last season, people were saying we should be getting capped for Scotland. Ross, what are you thinking going into this game against Dundee?
I think we just need to do what we've been doing well, which is well. Listen, we're really tight defensively. I know we've looked, we sipped a few goals there against Hibs and Hearts, but the other four games in our run of six, we've had clean sheets. So let's just continue to try and keep the clean sheet element of it. But I think we just play to our strengths, which is the wing play, getting really good crosses in, low balls in, try and have a go, because I don't think we're shooting enough. Which is strange for
Right,
us,
the
because
final
we
third has been very disappointing over the last few weeks. I mean, I
the
know
last few weeks it
we've
has,
kept
yeah.
four clean. Is it four clean sheets out of six? I think
Yep,
that's the
that's it.
stat.
Yep.
So, you know, we are struggling. Like, obviously, that was the first goal we scored since Dundee United there at the weekend. So, final third, there's always been a kind of breakdown. I think Stephen McGinn spoke about it in his interview there as well. And we've spoke about it certainly in this podcast over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, we're keeping it tight at the back, but it's just finding that up front. So I'm interested to
That's why I
see.
wouldn't be, sorry, John, that's why I wouldn't be surprised if we do see a right winger come in January as well. I think I mentioned him earlier on saying he was a bit quieter at the moment. Just to be clear, I'm not saying Kyrell had a bad game or anything like that in case anyone misinterprets, but I just think the last week or two he's been a little bit quieter. And sometimes it's symptomatic of young players. They, you know, go off like a house on fire, then they have a slight dip and then he'll come good again, I'm sure. But I don't think at the moment he is playing as fluently as he was to begin with. And I think Alfie hasn't really nailed that position down either. I think that right wing slot, certainly on a rotation basis, might still be up for grabs.
I mean, you can't, you know how John likes to invert them as well. We've got Ethan Ross, we've got Ethan Williams there as well. It, you know, they could also do a job out on that wing as well. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Predictions for the game, Ross, what do you think the score's going to be?
1-0 Falkirk.
1-0 Falkirk. And Finn to start as opposed to Dylan Tate?
I think Finn will start, and I think Dylan will just go back. As the second half was our better half, I think Henry will be on the bench.
On the bench. Lewis, score predictions and any kind of shouts for the team?
2-1 for me, and I think we might see Ethan Williams come back in, which complicates that number 10 decision.
Yeah, I think so. I think I said 4 points out of these two games, so I think it might be a wee draw. So I said 1-0 against Kelly, so I think I'll stick with my 4 points out of those two games, and I'll take a 1-1 draw. I think happy days, and I do think I don't think Finn will start. I don't think Finn will go straight in. I think he will. I think Williams will, if Williams has got rid of this flu, I think he'll come in for Wilson. I think that would be my shout. I think BBG will definitely start.
Do you think Henry, Brad and Dylan will keep their spaces?
No, I think he'll mix it up, maybe putting Calvin back in at the 10.
That's obviously another option. I think you're right. I think Williams is fit and he should start. But I would still, for me, I'd have Calvin and Ethan and Finny Esther.
Yeah, we will see what happens come Saturday. Right then, before we go, we need to do Falkirk Daft Versus. And I'm asking the questions.
I don't want to be melodramatic here, right? But see, if I lose, I will just fucking leave the Zoom and you guys can finish
you
this off.
You're just going to rage quit. Really?
I'm going to rage quit. This is
rage quit
like
the podcast.
This is like FIFA 99 back in the day, sitting in my pal's house, and I'm going to lose and then I'm just going to rage quit. Right. So I'm just going to preempt you now. I'll say cheerio now as well. All right?
You better wish everyone a Merry Christmas as well.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Wonder Birds.
Right, okay. And just if you could, Ross, give me a last line as well, just in case you do get beat.
Just in case you need to edit this together. Expect or expect.
There we go. Right, okay. So it is Lewis against Ross on Falkirk Daft Versus. We all know the rules. It's a penalty-style shootout quiz. First one to three effectively wins. No, that's not how it works. You'll get the... You know how it works. Right. First question then, gentlemen. Ross, you're writing down your answer. Lewis, I'll come to you for your answer to shout out. We last won at Dens Park in 2014 by 1-0, but who scored the winner for Falkirk that day?
Oh, 2014
was the last time we won up at Dens Park. The score was 1-0. Who scored the winner for Falkirk that day?
I'm trying to think who was even there at that time. God,
was that... See, can I just double check? Is this 2013-14 or 14-15?
It's just 2014, so 2013.
No, but that doesn't help.
For fuck's sake, Ross.
All right, okay.
2014, I think it was 13.
We're talking... So 2012,
I will be Taylor.
You came after for...
Don't give him any ideas here. He'll write it down. I will be blown away if one of you gets this answer, I have to say. Don't say anything, Lewis, because you'll give him an idea. Ross, you're going to write something down.
I am just trying to think, John.
These are both struggling with this one, I can tell. Lewis looks like he's got something here. Ross, write something down.
It's a punt.
It's a punt. Right, writing something down, Ross.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll tell you my thinking. And I don't think it was 14-15. I think they might have won the league that year. So I'm going to hark back to
13-14.
I can't remember the bugger's first name, but can I write the surname down? Is that enough?
Right. Okay, that's fine. I'll give you it if you get the surname. That's fine. Right. So give me your answer, Lewis.
The two strikers I think we had that year, because it was under Gary Holt. would have been Rory Loy and Mark Beck.
What are you going for? You going for one of them?
Beck. I don't know. I'll go Beck.
Ross. Fucking hell. How did you two pull that out of the bag?
I thought it was Martin Beck, so I'm glad I got the permission to not write the refill name.
Mark Beck is the correct answer. Well done,
boys.
That was
a 50-50, I'm not going to lie.
Well done, boys. That's 1-1. Right, okay. Going back to Finney Estat himself. Who did Finney Yeats play against as a trialist before signing for the club? Which club did Finney Yeats play against in a Falkirk jersey as a trialist before signing for the club?
Not to put Lewis under any pressure, but I think I know the answer to this one.
I definitely do not know the answer to this one, I'm afraid.
I've got my answer written down.
Right. Lewis, you want to stab a stab at the back?
No idea. I'm going to just say Morton.
Morton, Ross.
If it's the pre-season friendly I'm thinking of, it was the opening of the KM, which is Kilmarnock.
Can you see that?
It is true. That is the correct answer. Finn played as a trialist in that game and then got his move off the back of it. There you go, 2-1, Ross. Right, here we go, boys. Aside from Stephen Presley, can you name another man who has managed both Falkirk and Dundee? Aside from Stephen Presley, can you name another man who has managed both Falkirk and Dundee? Ross, write down your answer. I'll come to Libby. Once he's give me a shout when you've got an answer, Libby.
I'm trying to think of another one that. Probably going to have to be somebody older school because I'm trying to think. I feel like Jeffrey's on if anyone's actually done it.
You got an answer written down, Ross?
Oh.
I have.
Oh, I can't believe I forgot him. I didn't want to say his name.
Hold on. Ross, show your answer.
I went old school, Reggie Smith.
Reggie Swift?
Smith.
Lewis.
A certain long-haired, goatee-beard ex-manager.
Oh, Stephen fucking Presley.
No!
No!
That is
it. No. He shall not be named.
Paul Hartley, Ross.
What was the question again? Name one other manager.
Yes, that's outwith of Stephen Presley, who's managed both Falkirk.
I am happy with Reggie Smith. He's done both.
I don't know if this is true or not, because I've got two answers written down here, and Reggie Smith isn't one of them.
Reggie Smith was the 1957 manager. I thought he did Dundee as well, but right. Unless I've got that wrong.
Right, Reggie Smith, football manager. Because the other one, Lewis, go and see if you can get this one, is what I've got written down here.
Is it somebody like Craig? No, I was going to say Craig Brown played for Falkirk.
Wait a minute, he can't get multiple chances.
No, he's got it right. He's got it right.
Oh, I've gone Paul Hartley.
He's got it right.
I thought he said Stephen Presley.
No, he said Paul Hartley. You said Stephen Presley.
No, I said Reggie Smith.
Reggie Smith. Where have you pulled Reggie Smith? Are you cheating today, Ross?
No, he's a 1957 manager.
Reg Smith. I'm clicking into Reg Smith's details because I had no idea.
I'm sure he was Dundee as well.
No, you're wrong. He was Dundee United. There you go.
Fuck's sake. Right,
the other one I had down, which is the more obvious one, Jim Duffy.
A brief spell, yeah.
There you go. 2-2. Reg Smith. Fucking hell.
Listen, I'm sure he was Dundee.
According to Wikipedia, Corby
Town.
He was Dundee. What are you, like 90 years old or something like that? The 1957 Bairns win World Cup final.
I'm sure he was one of the links between the two clubs.
I want you to have your hands up, by the way, Ross, because I'm wondering where these answers are coming from today. Right. Okay, it's 2-2. Right. Which team did we face on the 27th of December last year? We're facing Dundee 27th of December this year. Which team did we finish last year on the same date?
Around about Boxing Day last year.
Can you tell us if it was home or away?
Nope.
Fuck's sake.
Lewis has got an answer, I think.
Well,
write something down, Ross.
I'm just trying to think if it would.
I don't think it's right, but I'm going to write it down.
You're going to write some like fucking third Lanark or something the way you're going today.
I cannot believe you don't know who Reg Smith was.
I know who Reg Smith. I know who Reg Smith is, but the Dundee connection's a bit random.
Well, it was wrong, wasn't it? So it's
yeah, it was wrong. Yeah, yeah. Right. You okay. What have you written down? Oh, he's so rage quitting. By the way, I just want to see it happen.
No, you go with Lewis first.
No, you write it. You write yours down, and then come
I've
to Lewis.
It down,
right, okay, Lewis. Who are you saying?
I was just wondering round about that time of year, would be due a derby game round about New Year's Day.
Uh-huh.
I'm just wondering if it was a few days early. So was the derby actually the game you're talking about on the 27th of December?
And who was that be? Who was who's derby?
I'll go for Dunfermline because we should be due a derby.
Dunfermline, Ross.
Can you see it? I went with
correct answer. It was the 3-3 game at East End Park. There we go. Right, okay. All we play for then is that 3-3. Oh, it's down to the last question here.
I thought you got Reg Smith wrong.
Aye, but then did you got one wrong? Do you not? Oh, is it 3-2 to Lewis?
Wait
a
minute.
I got one wrong.
You got one. Right, so both got Mark Beck.
Aye.
You got Paul Hartley. What was my other? I can't remember. The Kilmarnock one. So aye, it's Kilmarnock one. So right, okay. So there we go. Right, 3-3. Okay, Jesus Christ.
Marsh is making buttons here.
Right, this is the final question. It's one of your favourites, Ross, so you should get this. Who has squad number 12? Who has squad number 12?
For Falkirk?
Yep.
Fuck's sake.
Squad number 12?
Yep. I just put this in to piss you off, Ross, because you always get me with these ones.
This has to be.
Who has the highest squad number in the squad?
This has to be. Oh, wait, I think I might know.
Right, you've written some down. Lewis, you've got an answer for me.
I am. Give me a second.
I've got an obvious answer, but I've never seen the boy to know if it's right or no.
Right, but, are you writing some down, Ross?
Give me a second, fuck's sake. Right.
Right, you've written some down. Lewis.
Yep.
12 and 13 are normally the sub keeper. Now, we already had Nicky Hogarth, who had one. So I'm going to guess, is it Jamie Sneddon? And the reason I don't know is because, respectfully, we've never seen him.
Yep, I saw a picture of him yesterday, actually. Ross.
For the same logic, I went with the same answer.
These are both right. Oh, it's going to be a tie break. Is Ross going to rage quit? We'll find out in a minute. Right,
this has been a good game, actually.
Very good game. Right, closest to question. Lots of people shouting at the podcast at the moment as well. Right, okay. How many goals did Russell Latapy score for Falkirk? How many goals did Russell Latapy score for Falkirk? Closest to wins.
I know how many appearances he had. I could have told you that.
Right, write something down, Ross.
All right, okay. I thought we're just doing it verbally.
Oh, you could do it verbally.
Right, it's just closest to it.
Right, okay, Ross, come to you for your answer first.
25.
Lewis.
I was going to say 29.
29. One is one out. And that person that's won out, Lewis Conley wins.
Oh! A new appearance. He played 197 appearances. And the reason I remember it is it's a crime. He was three games short in the Hall of Fame.
That's mentally. You should just
so Russell up. Didn't make our Hall of Fame for three appearances. If you remember that last season,
yeah.
He basically sat on the bench for about 3-4 months, not even coming on, and he only needed three games to get inducted to the Hall of Fame.
Fuck's sake, Yogi. There you go, though. Ross, you've been beaten by Lewis.
And that is the best Christmas present you've ever
Merry
have asked
Christmas,
for.
One and all.
Right, listen, I'm the bigger man. Right, Merry Christmas. Fuck the pars. See you later.
He's got, he has actually gone, everyone.
He has rage quit.
He has rage quit. I can't believe it. Shocking behaviour from him. Well, Lewis, well, we'll just wrap up the show then.
Go for it.
To say thanks very much to our sponsors, Falkirk Football Fans and Train, before we go. It's off just now because of Christmas, but if you can, get down Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30 in the new year. Get yourself fit. Help your mental health. They've got the Elite Academy and Legends set up. Ross, you've done stuff with the Falkirk Football Fans and Train before, Lewis, haven't you?
Yeah, I've, a couple of times I was down involved in the courses. The guys do great work. And for anybody out there who's swithering about it, what I would say is get yourself out of the house. It's a good bunch of guys. They're really supportive. Doesn't matter what level you're at to begin with. They're really welcoming. Just go for it.
Yeah, so if you're a shite footballer like myself, feel free to go down. I wasn't going to tar you with the same brush, Lewis, but get down, have fun, help your mental health, get fit in the new year. It's what all the cool kids are doing. So yeah, get involved in that. And the Kelpies Cup is coming next year, so you can be involved with that. Doogie, Ian or Willie are the boys you want to speak to, and the link is in the bio. Well, that's it for this Falkirk Daft for before Christmas. We will be back with the last one of 2025. It's mental to say that, and what a year it's been for Falkirk. We'll talk a wee bit more about the highlights of 2025, and I think there's been a few for the Bairns this year. But yeah, we'll be back to review the Dundee game, look ahead to the Aberdeen game over the Christmas period. But until then, have yourself a merry, merry Christmas from us at Falkirk Daft to you and yours. Thanks very much for listening, and thank you very much for watching. Ross is gone, so I'm just going to have to get Lewis to do the final line before Christmas. What are we going for, Lewis?
We'll go for a bit of both. We'll say, thanks for your time, and expect the unexpected.
We're Falkirk Daft, we're Falkirk Daft. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft, we're Falkirk Daft. Listen in the pub, or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft, we're Falkirk Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk Bear, we're Falkirk Daft. We are Falkirk Daft.